Sunday, we look at how God takes care of us not only with our soul, with the forgiveness of sins, but also how He cares for and takes care of our body. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His word and receive His gifts this day. I want to thank everyone who was able to make the early trek. I know for some of you 10:30 folks, that was a big deal to make the early trek for a 9:10 voters meeting this morning. But at our voters meeting between services this morning, the congregation voted to issue a call to Mr. Keith Verigay. Mr. Keith Verigay from someplace in Michigan,
Clinton Township.
What a wonderful place. Clinton Township, Michigan, to be our new principal administrator of our school. Mrs. Ahrens has asked for a peaceful release. They're in the process of relocating to Missouri. And so we would ask that the congregation keep our school and the call process in your prayers. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us to a new teacher for our school in His good and proper time. A couple of words on our worship service. The outline for our 10:30 service begins on page 5 in our bulletin. Page 5 in our bulletin, opening hymn, great Lenten hymn. We heard it in the prelude, Christ the Life of All the Living. We'll sing the first 4 verses to get us started, and we'll pick up the last 3 verses during the distribution of the Lord's Supper. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. That's on page 151 and following. Worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Focus is on that gospel from John chapter 6. Please note that during the season of Lent, we have a few Lenten responses. But during the season of Lent, we hold back from singing Alleluia and from the hymn of praise. And so we'll go right from the Kyrie to the salutation and collect. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the forgiveness, life, and salvation that You have given us in and through Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we cling to Your word and cling to Your promises with regard to our soul and our eternal fate, teach us to cling to You and to Your word and to Your promises for all of our daily needs. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hymn 420, verses 1 through 4.
of worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together, printed on your bulletin insert.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. May be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 16. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." And Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less, but when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Rejoice and share your joy with me. Rejoice and share your joy with me. Can none there see no disputing or grumbling, but joy, shed joy, let it be. Rejoice and share your joy with me. Rejoice and share your joy, rejoice.
Rejoice and share your joy with me. Rejoice and share your joy with me. Can others see the share your joy with me? But joy, share joy, and share your joy with me. Rejoice and share your joy with me. Rejoice and share your joy with me. Can others see the share your joy with me? But joy, share joy, and it's beauty.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear. Break forth and cry aloud, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the Lenten verse. Please stand for the gospel. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, Have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. Perceiving them, then, that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. Hymn 731, please be seated.
Thank you. and peace.
Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago from John chapter 6, especially verses 5 and 6. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was to do. What do you think about having a test? If you're in school, it's probably not your favorite thing to think about or prepare for. If you're at work, a test usually means some continuing education or something that will either increase or decrease your job stability. Nobody likes a test. But the tests that we so often have are the things that happen in our life that test us. Whether it's a situation with a spouse or a significant other, parents or children, neighbor or coworker, fellow member of the church, oftentimes things vex us and test us to the very limit. What we don't like to think about is the fact that when these testings come into our life, sometimes, many times, these testings come from God. Jesus tested Philip. The word of the Lord says so. Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he said this in order to test him. In our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 16, God tested the children of Israel. Now there's something that we need to get straight right off the bat. There is a big difference between testing and tempting. And the biggest difference of all is the source. Where does it come from? I hope you remember from your catechism days when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, the sixth petition, "Lead us not into temptation." What does this mean? God tempts no one. You hear that? God tempts no one. If something comes into your life and it is a temptation, it comes from Satan. The thing we don't like to think about is when things come into our life, it could be the exact same thing that would be a temptation from Satan. When God sends it to test us. Our catechism with the sixth petition goes on. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. The reality of life, dear Christian, is the fact that there is an unholy trinity that is after your soul. The crosshairs are there. The devil, the world, and our old and that old Adam, that old sinful flesh that lives inside of us, has its marks set on your soul. The last 3 weeks we have seen the reality of the devil and his work in this world. This is real, folks. And when the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh tempt us, there is a reason for this tempting. It is to tear us away from Christ. It is to tear us away from the kingdom of God. It is to deceive and mislead us. In the common vernacular, that means that the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh lie. They do not tell the truth, they lie. They take God's word and twist it and shape it so that it is a lie. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Satan is the father of all lies. This unholy Trinity wants to trick and deceive you into all kinds of terrible things. False belief. You ever had that happen where you just kind of believe the wrong thing? Maybe it was some football or sports statistic. You believe the wrong thing. You can be very sincere in your belief. But being sincere doesn't make what you believe true. This is how Satan and the world and our flesh mislead us. They mislead us into despair. Have you ever felt down? Have you ever felt bad? Have you ever felt all alone? Have you ever felt like God has abandoned you? Well, guess what? This is Satan at work trying to tear you away from the kingdom. This is the world at work trying to get you to doubt God's word and promises for you. This is that voice inside of you, that old Adam, that is lying to you that God doesn't love you. God doesn't care. God doesn't know who you are. You don't even exist to Him. False belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. When we listen to lies and to liars, when we don't think God cares, guess what? We do what we please and we don't care how shameful it is or how much hurt it causes others or even ourselves. This is how Satan works. This is how the world works. This is how your sinful flesh works. And this unholy Trinity wants to tear you away from Christ and Christ's kingdom. God does not work in this way. But God's word is clear. He will sometimes send things or allow things into your life to test you. Not to tear you away from Christ and His kingdom, but to drive you to your knees in repentance, so that you cling to Christ and the cross and His word and promises even more firmly. That's what's going on in our text. People were clinging to the word of God. They followed Him out into a desolate place. They were hanging on the word of God. They didn't even think about bringing a lunch. Well, one little boy did. But the vast majority of the people didn't. Jesus sees the crowds. Jesus knows everything. He knows their hunger. And so Jesus tests one of the disciples. He tests Philip by saying, "Where are we going to buy bread so that these people may eat?" We see here perhaps the first documented account of a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Philip, when confronted with this testing, immediately worries about money. Oh, where are we going to pay for this? Oh, this isn't in the budget. Oh, what are we... Isn't this what we do when we're often confronted with testing? We grab for our pocketbooks or our purse. We're worried. Jesus already knew what He was going to do. He was testing the disciples. He was testing Philip. Philip, then turns to the chairman of the board of stewardship and says, well, take a survey. How much do we have in the coffers? It didn't take long to find out that there were 2 dried fish and 5 little dinner rolls. You know, the kind you have at Thanksgiving that you only have a couple of times out of the year. Yes, little boy had a lunch along. Going to have a McFish, maybe 2 if he stretched it out. All right. What is so little among so much? My friends, when God sends a test into this world, it often revolves around the tangible things of this life. Our stuff. Often. Why? Because we take the good gifts that God has given us. We use them. We enjoy them. And then instead of stopping right there and thanking God, who is the giver of all good gifts, what do with the stuff God gives us? We love it. We love it to the point of idolatry. We think that we can't live without it. Our whole world revolves around it. It could be Our tangible stuff, you know, like our money or our bank account, our clothes, our house. It could be our reputation. It could just be something as simple as our good health. And these things, when we have them, we take them for granted, right? We expect it. God owes it to us. And when they're gone, or we think they might be gone, what do? Too often, we blame God. We curse God. We question God. God, where are you? God, don't you know how much I hurt? Don't you know the problems that are... God knows everything. When He sends these tests, He already knows what He's going to do. The problem is, we don't. We could. We could look to His Word. We could look to His promises. We could cling to those promises and hold them to Him. But all too often, we wallow in the muck and mire of our despair and our shame and our lust and our false belief. My friends, the people in our text did not have false belief. They knew who Jesus was. Did you catch that at the end of the text? They said, oh, wow, look at this great miracle. He fed 5,000 families with just a little bit of bread and fish. This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the Savior of the world. This is the great prophet that Moses prophesied about. In Deuteronomy 18, we read God's promise. I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brethren. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. They realized that this Jesus was the prophet. They knew that he was the King of Kings on earth. But you know what they didn't know? They didn't know the kind of kingdom this prophet, this priest, this king, this Jesus was here to bring. They just had their bellies full. Jesus knew their need, and he took care of them. Well, I've got all kinds of needs, Jesus. Some that I know and some that I'll just make up. You can be our king, and you can take care of my needs, and you can make all my problems go away. You can fix my problems with my folks. You can fix my problems at school. You can put my bank account full. This is going to be wonderful, King Jesus. But Jesus would have none of it. That's not the kind of king or kingdom Jesus came to establish. Again, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. What is the kingdom? How does it come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and thereafter in eternity. What is this kingdom of God that Jesus comes to bring? Well, let's just think about the work of Jesus. The eternal Word, the eternal Logos, the King of Kings, begotten of the Father from all eternity, took on flesh and blood. And you know what? That's not enough. That's not the kingdom of God. This flesh and blood Jesus fulfills the law on our behalf. And you know what? That's not enough. This flesh and blood Jesus who fulfills the law on our behalf, He calms the storm. He walks on water. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He multiplies bread and fish and fills up people's belly. And you know what? That's not enough. Jesus Christ came into this world to establish His kingdom, and His kingdom is the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. His kingdom is established by His bloody death on Calvary's cross and His joyous resurrection for you. This is the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. This is the kingdom that He wants you to believe in and cling to. When He sends a test into your life, He wants you to be driven to your knees and cling to His kingdom even more, to know who you are, forgiven and redeemed in His name. My friends, if God would send His Son, His only Son whom He loves, into this world to suffer and die your death, don't you think He cares when your belly is hungry? Don't you think He cares when you're having problems in the home or at work or at school or in your nation or with your checkbook? Of course He knows. Of course He cares. And you know what? He already knows what He's going to do. And He simply says to us, His children, trust me. Cling to my word. Look to the cross which proves my love for you. Let this test be for you an opportunity to grow in your faith. Don't let Satan or the world or that old Adam or Eve get its grips in you. My friends, this chapter 6 of John is an extremely important chapter in Scripture. Jesus goes on to say, you know, you remember how Moses gave the people manna in the wilderness every day? God tested their faith. Every day they had to get up and trust that God would provide for them every day. And if they got worried or became hoarders, guess what? It got rotten and stank. The smell of death. You remember that? Jesus says, I am the bread of life that comes down from heaven. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. First of all, Moses didn't give anybody anything in the garden. God gave it through Moses. Second of all, everybody who ate that heavenly food, everybody who ate the manna, guess what? They all died. They all died. But I'm the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, in other words, whoever believes in me, has eternal life. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. John 6:47. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. My friends, for all of the times you have clung to the false idols of this world or of your own creating, for all of the times you have turned not to Christ and the Word of God, but to the devil, the world, or your own sinful flesh, for all of the times when you have not trusted that the God who bled and died for you would know and care for your daily needs, for all of these sins and more, Christ has bled, Christ has died, Christ is alive, He is risen for you. And now He says, just trust me. Just trust me. As I have provided for your forgiveness and eternal salvation, trust me to provide your daily bread. What is daily bread? Everything we need to support this body and life. Things like food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, money, goods, a devout husband, a devout wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, a good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. The list goes on and on and on and on. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. This is the joy that we have, forgiven and free, waking up every morning knowing that God will and does provide our daily bread. Cling to that today and tomorrow, and especially in the midst of God's testing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our trust in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold to confess our trust in Him for everything we need, both body and soul. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under
He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, feed us always with the living bread that comes down from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know what we need even before we ask. Give to us, we pray, every blessing that you see is good for us and for our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and all who are hurting for the sake of the Savior of the nations. Let no trial shake their faith or make them bitter. Keep them ever faithful and true to your promise of ultimate deliverance from every evil of both body and soul. Give us willing hearts and open hands to tend to their needs as we are able. Lord, in your mercy, Lord of the church, bless the work of your church here and around the world. Lord, be with Mr. Keith Verige as he considers the call extended by this congregation. Provide a teacher for our school in your good time and in accord with your gracious will. Bless all who serve as missionaries, preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth, especially Dr. Allman. Keep them and their families safe and open doors for the proclamation of your word to a world in desperate need of it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Great physician, you forgive all iniquities and heal all disease. Your name is proclaimed as the one who heals, and your Son, Jesus Christ, is sent to bear our infirmities. Look in mercy upon all who suffer. Remove all sickness and suffering from them according to your good and gracious will. Give them speedy healing and salvation at the last. Lord, in your mercy, dear Father, you do not desire the death of sinners, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Bless those who will receive your Son's true body and blood under bread and wine in the Lord's Supper this day. Forgive all their sins, strengthen their faith, and renew their zeal in faith toward you and service toward their neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, these things and whatsoever else you would have us pray, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
You're welcome.
In the name of Jesus, the bread of life,
who has come down from heaven for you in the life of the world. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. It's pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who takes care of us both body and soul would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
we stand and sing our offertory found on page 159. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of heaven and earth, ever full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Hymn 774, you may be seated.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. It's full. There's a lot of inserts, a lot of activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We had a voters meeting between services today. Congregation 92-2 voted to extend a call to Mr. Keith Verigay. Something like that. All right. In Clint Township, that'll be easy for me to remember. In Michigan, we'll keep you posted, keep the congregation and school there as well as ours in your prayers, and may God's will be done, and it may be done among us also. We got lots of sign-up sheets and tables out there. We're having an ongoing emphasis for our member, Dr. Allman, missionary in Germany. And there's refrigerator magnets and prayer cards and birthday cards and all kinds of stuff. Also, we're trying to raise $3,000. We're about two-thirds of the way there. And this will be a Lenten emphasis, so any amount you can help there would be a great blessing. They're signing up for Easter lilies and also helping with for Easter breakfast. Check that out as well. They came this week and picked up our food for the food pantry kind of stuff. We have lots of needs in and through our congregation right now with regard to tangible food items. And if you can help us out with gas cards or grocery cards or anything like that, there's a lot of need right now. And so keep that in your thoughts and prayers. If you can help us out and we can help distribute that to those in need, we'll gladly do that. Let's see, Wednesday schedule, we've got two more Wednesdays yet where we have our 12:15 and 6:30 service, fellowship meal at 5 o'clock. Cleanup day is scheduled for Saturday at 9 o'clock. If you can come and help, many hands make light work. And also there's an insert in there for the Easter egg hunt. We weren't sure we were going to do it. It'll be the Saturday before Easter, not Easter Saturday. So that makes sense? Check out the insert.
April 8th.
Yes. Okay. April 8th. All right. Pastor, anything else? Vicar? Have a great day. Oh, Jimmy?
Regarding the Easter egg hunt, there's some names in here that somebody wants to take a couple of bags and make one of them on the kids.
Help fill them up? That's the idea? Okay. All right. Well, empty egg, no good. Full egg, good. All right, that's pretty basic. All right, that's daily bread, isn't it? Yeah, all right. Have a great day and week and Lent and life in Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morande pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. You can also worship Sunday mornings at our daughter church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Hickman. Worship services are held in the American Legion Hall at 106 Locust Street. Worship begins at 9 o'clock a.m. with Sunday school and Bible study at 10:15. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Morande at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.